All right. Our next talk is water infiltration in a silt loam soil is influenced by cereal rye cover crop and cotton.
All right. Thanks, Trey. To start off with, I'd like to thank my co-authors, Amanda Free. She's our Arkansas Cotton Research Verification and Sustainability Coordinator. She goes by all of our fields once a week to look at those and work with the farmers, work with the consultants. She scouts the fields and then keeps track of all the inputs. So we work with our economists on these. And I don't have my economist's name up there. Sorry about that. But anyway, to be able to run budgets on those and everything. Mike Daniels, he's one of the coordinators with the Arkansas Discovery Farms, and I'm able to tag team on with them. Their main focus is looking at edge of field water quality. And Chris Henry's our extension irrigation scientist, and Steve Stevens on the work that we did on his farm. If we look at this, my interest in cover crops and sustainability came on partly during my time with the National Cotton Council. And I come back with a little bit different look on this. And, you know, sustainability is kind of one of those buzzwords. It means a lot of different things to different folks. But there are a lot of people that are driving this. And if we look at who the drivers are, you know, you see Walmart there, the brands, especially working through Walmart, the brands like Wrangler, which is on this sign, but the Hanes, the Fruit of Loom, the Gildans, they're really interested in working to promote, improve sustainability and do things that they can, because all these companies have targets to reduce. Most of them have targets to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And they've got these targets. Now they're really trying to figure out, okay, we got the target. How are we going to do it? And so that's kind of where they're working from. And they even got a guy there showing his pair of underwear. Stole this. Tina Teague sent this to me. I guess Jesse, he's the chief sustainability officer for Cotton Incorporated. He had a talk. I lost track of days. Anyway, before the Beltwide started, and so she sent that to me. So it's a pirated slide. The brands and retailers that I mentioned, the Fruit of the Looms, the Hanes, the Wranglers are all affiliated with Field to Market, which is Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture. There's a lot of different things that Field to Market does. One thing is a field print calculator. But, you know, when we look at how we farm cotton in Arkansas today, this is kind of how it is. At planting time, we plant bare soil. We have some issues. We have crusting problems. And the picture down in the bottom corner, Arlene, it looked kind of like one of the pictures you had with the water only soaked about halfway up the row. Sometimes we get in a situation like that. We decide, okay, we're going to let the water run a little longer, let it soak up. You just fill the ditches. With our poor soil structure that we have, we just peg out on the infiltration rate. And so those are some of the issues that we have. Now, when we look at the field print calculator, here's an example. The main take home on this, and where's the... Oh, here it is. This blue area in the middle is your footprint. So the goal is the smaller that shaded area in the middle is, the more sustainable you are or better you are. So when we work with the field print calculator, when I was with the council, one of the things that we did is try to figure out, okay, does the calculator work? What are some things we can do to improve it? And we've made a lot of changes on it since it first came out. There are a lot of weaknesses as with most anything, and they're working on improving that. We've got new versions that are coming on, so we're getting better and better all the time. But if you look at this, how can we make this smaller? The main thing we can do to make it smaller is to reduce tillage and use a cover crop. And so we go in, we're working with farmers on this method. And after I got involved in this through the state, there are several growers, a handful of growers that have been doing the no-till or almost no-till with a cover crop. Some of them 6 years, some of them 8 years, some of them 10 years. And so it's not new, but it's just not anything that was ever really on my radar screen much. And a lot of times they're doing that to try to figure out how to be profitable with the prices we are with cotton. How can they decrease their production cost? So when we look at that, here's the footprint that we looked at earlier. This is with a conventional till with no cover crop. Come to the other side, see how much smaller that is. So we get in there, and the main thing, you know, we're having really an impact on soil health. And like some of the things Arlene showed, the places where we've had the biggest impact on this are in our dry years. And a lot of that's because we improved irrigation water use efficiency and infiltration. And so that kind of got me wanting to know where, you know, what is really going on here. And so, you know, the soil health, I think, is the thing that's driving this. You know, if we look at cover crops, we chose to use just straight cereal rye. I know one of Darren Dodd's students yesterday, Savannah Davis, I believe, gave a really good talk on different cover crops and advantages and strengths of those. I think, you know, later on, I know a lot of times I feel like I want to go to the recordings and listen to those, but I think that would be a good one to talk to. He also had another student on the watermark sensors and using those. I think those are two really good talks. If you don't know a lot about how to do those things or use those tools, those are really good talks to go back to. But we worked with a farmer. We got four fields that we worked with. I got two fields in particular, the shop field and the Weaver field. Working with a Discovery Farm, basically what we've done, we split the field in half and want the farmer to keep doing what they're doing on one side, and then we do the alternate practices on the other side. And our practices were try to get away from tillage completely and use a cover crop. And we use the cereal rye cover crop because, you know, if you get online and look on cover crops, especially if you get on Twitter, you hear a lot of people say that cereal rye is the cover crop of training wheels. It's easy to terminate. There's a lot of other things going on. It has a really high carbon to nitrogen ratio, and that can cause some issues. But one of the big things we want with that cover crop is a mat for pigweed control. And that gives us a real good option for that. So, again, back to this. As, you know, I grew up outside of Lubbock, and the soils, where I grew up are so much different than they are in Arkansas. But this is very typical, especially after your first irrigation. The soil just kind of seals over, and the water just shoots out the other end. You cannot get that to go in. And so when I came back to the extension, I've been back almost 4 years. It'd be 4 years in May. I started carrying a soil probe around. Because I don't know, as an agronomist, I used to always just focus in on what happened at the soil surface and up. I really didn't pay attention to what was going on below much. And it's really interesting to go into a field like this after an irrigation with a soil probe right in the top of the row and see where the moisture is. And a lot of times, about 5 or 6 inches deep, we'll hit dry soil. And it really gives you a sick feeling to go out there, especially when our temperatures, you know, when we have heat indexes in the 100 pluses, and you go out there behind a pivot irrigation and you poke a hole in the soil with a soil probe and you hit dry soil at 4 inches, it kind of makes you wonder, am I really doing any good? So our poor soil structure is I think, the root of this. And talk about leading into the next slide, the root. This is typically what we see. About the top 6 inches is where we're farming. And so when I work with people, and that has an impact on our fertility recommendations. It has an impact, you know, it would be so much easier, and I think our fertility recommendations would work so much better if we were farming the top foot or the top 18 inches. The top 18 inches would be wonderful in Arkansas. You know, as we start getting lower than that, I don't know that there's a lot in our soils the way they're put together that'll help us. You know, we get to the high plains, we get in the Midwest, then I think we need to be farming more than just that top 18 inches. But I'd be very satisfied with 18 inches. It'd be a lot better than 6 inches. And I think we're doing most of our farming of cotton in the top 6 inches or less. And that's just kind of what we see. So, as Arlene talked about a while ago with the Forerunner, here's the top right. Is a slide with the residue. We run the furrow runner to kind of give us a little trench, but there's no bare soil. And that just that little bit of help is really all we needed to get the water down the row. And so it would be very typical in the fields we're working with. The slide in the bottom left is what one side of the field looked like, and the other one would be what the other half would look like. So it got a lot of attention from the neighbors. So it had a lot of neighbors driving by and looking at that, especially at planting time when you come in and you just barely see the hood of the tractor. the neighbors think that farmer lost his mind. We use watermark sensors to look at soil moisture. In this study, we did a 6, 12, and 18-inch depth. And so when we come in to look at this, this is really what I'm supposed to be talking about, water infiltration. To set this up, we've got, if I can get the mouse to work. There it is. We got the soil moisture sensor data here with zero being full soil moisture. We got the bars here that represent rainfall, the blue bars that represent irrigation events. And this is on the farmer standard side. That's what the FS is. So that's the farmer standard side with no cover. And so we come in and we see with this big rainfall event, we had an impact on our 6 and a 12 and some on our 18-inch sensor. But it's kind of interesting when we get over here from about this point on, we have very little separation between the 12 and 18-inch sensor. And what we found a lot of times when we come in, especially in a dry year, worked with a farmer before on one of the fields we work with. He generally out of the four fields, he has one of those in corn. He was on his third watering on the corn before the 16th sensor ever knew he watered. And so it's really interesting to see we had an irrigation event. And then look, I know there's a little bit of lag on this. And then we had a rainfall event. And then the 6-inch sensor really responded. But there was no response in the 12 and the 18-inch sensor. And so that shows me that we're just not getting moisture down that deep. And it also kind of gives me an indication of where the plant's going to get its moisture. And it's almost like in a situation like this, when we irrigate and we're only irrigating the top 5 or 6 inches, it's almost like drip irrigation. Because what do you do with subsurface drip irrigation? You train the roots to the tape. And so everything comes through the tape. And so that's where we're putting all the new roots. And, you know, we do have roots down deep, but the plant is really focusing its new roots are on the very top. I need to kick it in gear, don't I? So then if we go in and look at the other side of the field where we had the cover crop, and incidentally, this field is one that has been, I think he had cover crop in the whole field starting in 2014. And so a lot of times on this one side, he'd have a stale seed bed with a cover crop. And a lot of times he'd plant the stale seed bed, right, you know, he'd harvest, shred stalks, hit the rows, put the cover crop out with a buggy and then roll it. And so a lot of times his cover crop would come up later on the farmer standard side. So this is the first year in several years that this was out of a cover crop. And see a big difference. And so when we look at, you know, a lot of times I get a question, can I do cover crop just every other year or every third year and get the benefits from that? I don't believe you can. When we get down here, we see the rainfall events and all that. We come in, here's an irrigation event. We wanted to put out the same amount of water, but the infiltration was so high. He uses pipe planter, basically shuts the water off when he gets to the end of the field. But look how much more water we put out. And look how, you know, the 6, 12, and 18-inch sensor responded. So when I look at this, I think, okay, we're getting a lot better infiltration. But our plants, instead of doing all the work in the top 6 inches, we're farming more of that top 18 inches, and we might be farming more. But the effective rooting zone is going to have a tremendous impact on the plant's ability to take up nutrients, take up water, and it's going to make our recommendations work a lot better. Because a lot of the farmers, when I first came to Arkansas, everybody bumped the university recommendation on potash. And you look at the potash, our potash soils test really high. And I worked with a farmer one year, and he was coming in about a week before he put out pre-plant, and about a week before bloom, he was putting out 100 pounds of muriate of potash, or he was putting out 60 units. I said, why are you doing that? He said, well, it always makes more cotton. Well, he had yield monitors, so we had 3 strips in the field where we didn't do that. Well, those 3 strips of the field were red. They had lower yields where we didn't put that potash out. And so when we got a situation like that where we have poor soil structure, our compacted rooting zone, it just makes it difficult for the plant to take up the nutrients it needs in a timely fashion. And that's out of time. But that's the bottom line. Improving soil structure is going to have a big impact on increasing water infiltration in these soils.
All right, find Dr. Robertson afterwards for some questions, and let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.